Welcome to another episode of Investing in Intellectual Property with Dave. Today, we have a very special guest with us. This gentleman has developed a product line and a company that has over 5 million customers, over 100 patents, and almost 400 trademarks worldwide. Please help me welcome Casey Danford. How's it going, Casey?
Good. How you guys doing?
Y'all hear you, bro. Pretty good. And man, we are having some good conversation offline, and let's try to capture some of this stuff on an interview. I guess I want to ask you a question before we get off into like your company Training Mask and the products that you guys have. What was your background? Was your background in this like the training and performance area, or was it something totally different from ultimately the company of Training Mass and kind of what you guys sell as far as the performance equipment and stuff like that?
Yeah. So my background in athletics is, you know, I played high school football, wrestled, and then ran track. But I also then went to Ferris State University, got recruited as a kicker, kicked there for 4 years. And then moving on after college days, I actually signed a pro contract with Port Huron Pirates, which didn't work out because at the end of the day, like, it was just a startup. They were a startup company or a startup league, and it kind of fell apart before it started. So So the background in athletics, you know, I have a computer informational systems degree, a minor in marketing, visual design, web media certificates. And that's kind of like what gets me into, you know, the door of e-commerce, entrepreneurship. The ability to know the routes and what road to take. And, you know, there's always shortcuts to certain things. And if you can accelerate yourself in those shortcuts, then, you know, you're further ahead than most.
So it seems like, I know you have the sports background as far as playing, especially high school, college. But then it seems like after college, it wasn't necessarily that you were kind of selling performance equipment or within that sphere of things. You had more so on the e-commerce side was the expertise, if you will. So yeah. I guess, how did you kind of come across this path to be able to, have an opportunity to start the company Training Mask?
Yeah. So one of the things that I did while I was in high school, in college, is I would make websites and I would sell them off, And then when I got out of college, I ended up selling off one of my websites for $185,000. Wow. It paid off all my student loans. And then I traveled for a little bit, you know, and I had to kind of figure out where I wanted to be. And I wasn't really sure. So I lived in Tampa for 6 months, lived in Tennessee for 6 months. And then I ran out of money out of that $185,000.
How old were you at that point?
Oh, man, I was 24.
Living a good life.
A
good life.
We were doing it. We were in the supplement game for a while there, right? And we were just selling, you know, natural vitamins. We would sell into evitamin.com, places like that would pick up our vitamin supplements and sell them on our behalf. And, you know, I just got out of college and I wanted to just kind of do my own thing. So I see, you know, and get some money in my hands, and get my student loans paid off. Cause I graduated, I could have got doctorates for what I paid for my college. you know, you're a fifth year senior and all that good stuff. So, it's just like, I came from the vitamin supplement area, and I was actually at a UFC fan expo, and Sean Sherk, walked by, and I'm like, yeah, man, I'd love to do something with him sometime. And I just said, hey, Sean, could I sponsor you with Fight Fuel? Like, which was an energy brand, in the next fight. And he's like, yeah, let's go. So we talked back and forth. Well, then, like, I'm basically looking for avenues of revenue, right? And it was like, I need to figure out something else because the supplement game is only going to take me so far, right? Yeah. And I got to the point where I'm watching a YouTube video, and there's a guy training with a gas mask on, and it's Shirk. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Like, so I zoom in, and he's got this gas mask on. He's like, I take my gas mask, and I poke holes in it, and I duct tape the front up. And so he started talking about, I'm like, wait a minute, like, let me see if we can make something
right
like this. So I called Sean up. I had his number. I said, Sean, what are you doing in this video? He said, I don't know. He's like, I have the best cardio in the UFC, so I must do something. And I said, what if we made like a cap or something for an Israeli and we go to market with it. He goes, I know nothing about marketing, but you know, I'll be the face of the brand. And I said, let's go. I said, I know a lot about marketing and you can be the face of the brand. And we went to Texas, went to California. We would do all the fit expos, the fan fit expos, yeah, the fan UFC expos. So we really got good exposure early on with Shirk and John Bones Jones. And, you know, we were just had a lot of good athletes. We had a lot of good relationships with agents that were in the UFC. And then it kind of like switched over from UFC. We kind of like, I let my little brother start handling all the agencies, agents, because at the end of the day, like I didn't have time. And like agents are, you either have really good agents or you have slimy agents. Right. And I'm not good with like not telling somebody like they're kind of like a slime ball, right? I have very low tolerance for people that are trying to, you know, push one over on people. So I let Toby deal with it because he can handle a lot of different things, you know, with mediocrity, where I'm like, I'm not dealing with you anymore. Like, hit the road, right? So right, we started in the UFC between, you know, 2012 to 2014. And then UFC signed that Reebok deal. And when they signed that Reebok deal, it kind of like not only messed the sponsors up, but it also messed the fighters up. Those fighters in the UFC have lost millions of dollars because they cut the ability for the athlete to be sponsored. Now they got to be sponsored by Reebok and Venom. There was millions of dollars transacting in hands of those fighters, right? And when I'm saying millions of dollars, like Shirk would get $100,000 to wear out a Warrior shirt. Or a hat or something like that, you know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars were lost to each individual fighter by them cutting it and being controlled by who can sponsor them and who cannot, right? So once they cut that, I opted out, right? Because I didn't really care for the UFC's lawyer at the time. You know, I like Dana. I think Dana's a good guy, but I didn't care for the UFC lawyers at the time. They actually fired him now, which was a good fire. But it was one of those things where I just opted to go the other way because I felt like the legal team was on the hustle. Where, you know, I've met Dana before. He's a good guy. It's just like he's not like the guy you see in the motivational videos. You know, he's very high strung. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, you know, at the end of the day, he'll shake your hand. He'll tell you hi. Ask you how you're doing. Things like that. But once they cut that UFC deal, we had to move, right? We had to move quick. So we started in the NFL. When we did NFL, we were starting to like generate a lot of noise, but we didn't know where they were coming. Oh, I seen an NFL player like Marvin. There's a guy by the name of Marvin who was on the Miami Dolphins. He was the first person to use it. And then it rolled into like, you know, Antonio Brown, then, you know, because he was a CMU guy. And there was just a lot of things that happened in a short period of time that I can't put my finger on one event between 2013 and 2014. But then come 2014 up until like what I'm saying, 14, early stages of 14 season, we start hearing this guy's name of Marshawn Lynch. Yep. And it was like, okay, Marshawn Lynch is using our product. Let me look him up. I'm like, man, this dude's a badass running back. Like he's an amazing running back, you know? Cool. And, we would watch the games and we're like, okay, like let's just see what he does. So one day he calls, he's like, hey, can I get some gear? And I told my little brother, I'm like, ship him out whatever he needs. And Toby's like, well, I need to have him email me because I can't understand like what he's saying on the phone. And I'm like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. So I said, tell him to email you. And then he asked for a fax number. It's because you could fax out of the office of the NFL, right? So he Toby's like, go ahead and circle whatever you want on the website, and we'll give it to you. About 24 pages of stuff comes through. Circle, 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 circle. I said, send it. Just send it. So we sent it all to him, and you know, like if he wore it, that's cool. If not, that's cool. But all of a sudden, we start hearing rumblings like, oh God, these guys are going to, you know, these guys are in the playoffs. These guys are in the second round play, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, and then the game where they, you know, they basically won it in the last seconds to get in the Super Bowl. That was like, oh man, it was kind of like a silent moment for us. We're like, say nothing. Cause if we ask, he probably won't wear it. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
If we don't ask, it's as normal. And so we didn't ask, and that was probably to the benefit, you know, because it was like at that point, he was just, well, you know, Marshawn's a great person, you know, and like I actually went out to I went out to Oakland and visited with him for a full day and a half, you know, went to it was one of these things where like. I didn't know who Marcus Peters was. You know who Marcus Peters is? It's Marshawn Lynch's cousin. He's the number one cornerback in the league, right? Plays for the Raiders. Like, he's Marshawn. I didn't know who he was at the time. Yeah, Marshawn, no, you know that is, right? Because was that?
No, I was going to say, yeah, I haven't heard of him either.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus, he's number one cornerback in the league, or was a couple years ago. He was the guy that called out the fan he was from the Rams. Called out the fan in the stands, told them, like, basically went up the stands.
I got you. Yeah,
he's like, what you guys saying? Yeah, that's Marcus Peters, right? So I hand Marcus my phone, like, can you take a picture of me and Marshawn? And Marshawn says, like in his story, he's like, absolutely no pictures with males. I didn't know anything, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. Marshawn, you know, jumped up. He's like, yeah, we'll get a picture, you know, like, all good. And I hand my phone to Marcus, and he's like, you know who that is, right? I'm like, no, I don't know who it is. He's like, Marcus Peters. I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, my cousin. I'm like, oh, he's a damn number one cornerback in the league, bro.
I'm like, I can see far about it.
Yeah.
But I know we had kind of went through a lot there. I got to back up a little bit because it seems like you just identified an opportunity with Sean kind of wearing, it seems like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it a rig mask, but he kind of essentially modified this gas mask, you said. Which he, you know, said, okay, it's giving me a kind of better like breathing and just kind of better endurance. I guess at that moment, because that seemed like that's like the origination of everything, it seems like. So what in that moment kind of went off in your head to say, okay, we have something here, or I can kind of make something of this?
So when I create products, you look for a problem and create the solution, right? And that's primarily the main goal to do is like look at a problem. If you can solve it and you have the solution, sell the solution, right? And so a lot of people they come into a market and they go, okay, I can look at this. This guy's selling a lot. This guy's selling a lot. This guy, you're already got competitors. Like, let's create something new and create our own market. Yeah, you're going to have competitors eventually, but as long as you get some patents going, or as long as you get a design patent or a utility patent, something to protect you along the way, you don't have the issues. Like, because you could, number one, if you have a utility patent, you have to go to court. If you have a design patent, you can defend it pretty easily, right?
Right.
So if there's a design and a utility, like, there's nobody going to touch you, right?
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that, you know, like, where in the book of everything, you look at it and you go, okay, what solidifies the patent and what solidifies the design? You know, that's on you, like, to kind of like bring that to fruition for an entrepreneur like us, right? Yep. So, but okay, so back up, because I know right where you're going is like, okay, what were you thinking in that moment? It's like, okay, I seen the opportunity to basically bring cardio to a next level, right? And it was like with the Israeli gas masks, number one, it was cheap. Number two, they were expensive masks, but they were cheap in return. You know, we would pay $30 for a gas mask with a $2 insert that, you know, I charged $89 for. But when we came out with that was in 2013. In 2013, we sold a ton of those masks, right? But what I noticed over time, like, our sales are starting to drop. And had we not like pivoted, we wouldn't have a company to this day. Because I had to pivot because I started noticing like we're starting to tail off. Because when we first started, that was an elite mask. It was an Israeli gas mask with a nose cap. And women would not wear this thing at all because it would mess up their makeup, mess up their hair. You were strapped in. You literally were strapped in. So I seen an opportunity in the marketplace to where I can go, okay, I got to come up with something more for the general public and more more light, like more cool looking, and develop something that, you know, isn't as hot. You know, when people put this on their face, it's hot, right? Not the Trinity Mask 2.0 or 3.0, but the 1.0 was a hot mask. It would fog up. but the elites loved it, right? So 2.0 came along. It was, I had to develop it because we were getting our essentially like we were having lack of sales. 2012, gotcha. We started developing that. By the end of 2012, early 13, we released that. And that was kind of like the golden like goose, right? By the time 2013 came along, we had Dick's Sporting Goods calling us. We had Academy Sports calling us, going, and Dick's told us, we want to jump on this fad. And it's like, okay, fad only lasts like 3 years, right?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, come along for the ride. You know, I made them millions and millions of dollars, right? So we're no longer in Dick's Sporting Goods right now. But, you know, down the line, we'll get back in there. They bought a ton in 2020. They bought a ton of masks. They just oversold themselves on masks, or bought. The buyer followed the buying algorithm versus their mental. And they should have purchased 4,000 when they purchased 9,000, right? But that come along to 2012, the 24, you know, 2014, 2015. 2015, the Marshawn Lynch moment came out. We exploded there. And then we came out in Apollo Creed. And then we came out with Jake Gyllenhaal's Southpaw. And then we came out in the Netflix Titan series on Netflix. And then we got invited to Under Armour Future Show, where we developed this product right here for them in the Under Armour Future Show, which is a filtration device that they were going to go to China with. They wanted to take the filtration to China. And they were going to use our product, but we couldn't seem to get a licensing deal done with them. And that was about 16, 17. So, and then like what I noticed in 16, 17, we weren't like innovating like we should have been. We need to be faster. Speed to market's everything, right?
Yep.
I need to be releasing 2 products a year. So at the end of the day, like we got 17, we came out with a Training Mask 3.0, which is this. This is the 3.0 here. So, and this is the product we actually released, which was the 2.0, and this was 16. This is the 2.0 here. And then, you know, the 3.0, this is probably one of the best seller, but the 2.0 turn flow is extremely effective. And then when COVID hit, we actually came out with this. Like this was a filtration device called Apollo. No longer call it Apollo. It's now tactical filtration. So you can use it in gun range. You can use it in different settings where you need dust filtration, cutting grass, all that stuff. So that's that. So, but so all the way up to 2020, I think for me, it was kind of like a growth curve. It was like two bell curves, right? 15 come down. 2020 come down, and then now we're starting to hit this bell curve where they're starting to belly out and it's starting to come back, right? Because people in 2020, 2021, people felt like they got deceived, right? They were pissed, and you know, and that's okay. You know what I mean? I understand, but like our brand took a brunt of a lot of that as we're advertising. People didn't understand that we're not a COVID mask. We're not anything with that type of thing. We're a training device. We help, you know, we help you get a better, you know, like deeper breath, stronger breath, strengthen your intercostal muscles. Not only that, but VO2 max actually goes up. And there's all kinds of different benefits. We actually have clinical studies from Mayo Clinic, University of North Texas, and a couple doctors just came out more. So you said more most recently, that says it's a modality for altitude training, meaning you don't need to go to altitude anymore to train. You can take the training mask and use it as a supplement. So, and that's where that's where we're starting to live, is in that crossover.
Gotcha. So I guess maybe, again, back it up a little bit. With the training mask 1.0, was that essentially just the Israeli gas mask that maybe you guys were reselling, or was that something that you guys put your own spin on it? Again, I know you have over 110 patents or over 100 patents. So was that first gas mask, maybe, I guess the two-part question, number one, was that something that you had a patent on? And maybe number two, what made that different from like these training masks? Because I'm assuming that training mask existed up until that point in time. So what made it different from, I guess, the ones that existed to your point about providing a solution to a problem?
Well, two things. The insert that we put in there was patented. The overall look and function was patented. And so we couldn't really design patent the Israeli gas mask because it was all, but as an entity of one is where we really, what we did for a design patent. You know, going back, when I look at it and go differently, I mean, you got to learn along the way, right? You learn your mistakes. And there's certain mistakes that, you know, every brand will make along the way, but you learn from those and you get better at it, right? One of the things that, you know, you don't want to do is go out and patent everything. Anything, you know, we talked about this previous, but like every time you turn around, you go, I got an idea, let me patent it. I got an idea, let me patent it. It's like you're gonna burn through a lot of cash just going out and patenting every idea that you ever thought about, right? So you don't want to do that. What you want to do is really get it on paper, get it down, and make sure like that's what you really want, and do the variation sets and make sure you go through, really think through it. And it shouldn't, you can't take you years because somebody else is going to come out with this thing, right?
Absolutely.
So when you have an idea, run on it. Run on it, get it done within 3 to 6 months, and then you know, get to a guy like yourself and get patents and trades, get a patent and trademark. You know, trademarks, I love trademarks. Yeah, I love wordmark, you know, like design and wordmark, because they're easy to defend, right? And so are design patents. Utility patents, you got to go to court to do that. But, you know, there's going to be like, okay, Amazon is starting this. I'm not sure if you heard of this. You may have heard
of it. They got the Apex program.
Apex.
That makes it easier. Yeah, that's been a game changer for sure.
It is a game changer because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're bending people over a barrel, like with our utility patents, because it's like it's their determination, right? There's a lot of guys that are in violation of our utility patent that we don't want to go to court to, but Amazon gives us the ability to put a stake in the ground and say, hey, listen, you are in violation of that. So Apex is one of those staples where it's like, okay, this is going to be good, right? This is going to be really good for the brands.
No, yeah, exactly. And again, that's, I guess, one of those things where it's only for utility. So if you do have a design patent, then, like you said, it's probably cool because design patents is not that costly to kind of defend IP in court, whereas utility is. So the fact that, you know, you can kind of defend that via the Apex program, that's a lot less expensive than going to court with the utility, then it kind of all balances out. I guess maybe kind of going back, though, so you're saying with the training mask 1.0, you had this kind of combination of the mask as well as the filter. And kind of selling that. And then, that's one of the interesting things that I do want to get off into, and you maybe hit on it a little bit as far as like, man, you guys have a number of products that you came out with over time. So I guess as you were coming out with that Trader Mask 1.0, did you envision like, okay, I'm this is going to be a business that we're going to have multiple products over the long haul, or was this, okay, is this an opportunity to make some money?
It was an opportunity for me to make the money because what I did is when I was watching that video, right, there was 385 comments in that video. I was looking, scrolling through the comments, and there's people going, how do I do this to my mask? Can you make me a mask? Can you sell me a mask? And I'm like, I'm out. There's a pre-made market here. We got to get them. And so I was like, even if I put something together, like, I don't care what it is. I have 385 customers here. Yep, I'm gonna sell each one of these guys a mask, $80 a piece, right?
Oh, but what was different? Because again, I guess up until this point in time, just kind of doing some research. And I mean, you hear a little bit. I mean, obviously, you hear more about it now as far as the training mask or whatnot. But at that point in time, 2010, 2011, what was different, or what was maybe the standard training mask? And then, kind of, how did you guys kind of provide a solution? Because you said early on in terms of providing a solution to a problem. So where did you see the problem that you can provide a solution to with, I guess, not only the training mask 1.0, but the 2.0 and the 3.0?
Yeah. So I was the inventor of the first training mask, right? Okay. So I was the inventor. There was no other training mask before me. Honestly, there was not. It was, you know, there. It was all, you know, stuff that was jimmied together, and they didn't need. It was a function of the mask at hand, not a one piece training mask done for this specifically resistance breathing training, right? I seen the opportunity window when essentially like you would eat, like there was a lot of people running cross country that you'll see the guy that's in the back just winded, right? And then you'll see the long legged people, you know, like just killing it. And at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'm not the best breather, right? Like I wrestled, I ran track, I did all that stuff, but you know, like I didn't understand breathing until later in life, right? And diaphragmatic breathing is extremely effective and healthy for you. That a lot of people, they breathe up, they use their chest muscles and they use their neck muscles to breathe in, right? Where if you use your belly, you can push it in. What you want to do is you want to focus on pushing your lungs behind your belly, right? So and push your belly about as you breathe in. So if you take a deep breath, push your belly out as you breathe in and push your lungs behind your belly, right? That's what basically helps you increase your intercostal muscles. Not only that, but then you don't get side stitches, right? A lot of people are like, I don't know why I'm getting side stitches. Well, because you're breathing up. We help Rich Froning with this. You know,
side stitches. I've never heard of that term before.
What's that? Side stitches? So when you're running, all of a sudden you go, So those are called side stitches, right? And it's because your accessory breathing muscles, those are not made for that function. These are made for twists, right? These are made to go this way and this way. Intercostal muscles and diaphragmatic breathing, they go hand in hand, right? So you breathe, you push your lungs behind your belly. That's diaphragmatic breathing. You're pushing your belly out, right? When you breathe and you breathe up, that's where you get side stitches because this function is not made for breathing, but it's because you're fatigued in the front that the sides take over.
Got you. So So did all this stuff come through just kind of research and learning and talking to the right people? Or because it seems like, and this kind of where I wanted to get off into as far as like initially it was okay, we can make some money here. And then as things started to go and okay, the Trainer Mads 1.0 sales started to dip a little bit, let's go to 2.0. And it seemed like 2.0 had a little bit more engineering into it. I guess up until that point in time, are you like starting to talk to like experts within the field to get this information that you just described or?
So like there's a company called Bakito Breathing. I'm good friends, Dr. Artur is his name. I'm good friends with him. Like he has so much knowledge. He's like, you don't even know what you created here. I'm like, I don't. He's like, I do this using water in a bubbler, and he does it in a different way. And he uses humidity and certain things. Bakito breathing is what it's called. And it's really wild how the subsets of breathing can all lead back to feeling better, right? So if you breathe better, you feel better. But keto breathing was one of these things where a lot of patients asthmatics, MS, there's certain things that he was really focused in on. And it's not a cure, right? But it was one of these things, the quality of life change, right? And that was one of the things, like, as I developed this, my lung capacity got, when I say huge lungs, I could still breathe really, really deep and really, really hard in. When you start putting on the mask, you get on a treadmill and you'll get into a rhythm and you kind of almost lose track of time because it becomes like a euphoria feel. And this is what was really intriguing to me is like when we first went with the University of North Texas, we couldn't figure out why people were getting the euphoria, high energy after using the mask, right? And so they did a beta endorphin release test, and he's like, this is why. He said, number one, we're increasing growth hormone by 33% post-workout of using your mask. He goes, I've never seen it before. He said, but beta endorphin release, we're releasing beta endorphins, which make you feel better. It makes you have a better quality of life, and it makes you happy. He said, so it's like you've taken a happy med by using a training mask.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that explains why when you get on the treadmill, 35 minutes, you start experiences. It's not loss of time, but it's like a euphoria, a good feel. Like you get into a rhythm, right? Yeah. You're into a breathing pattern. You're into almost like a yoga or a Zen, but you're in that breathing pattern and everything is correlating together. And you don't function, you don't focus or function on time at that point. You function on how like you're moving and your body's breathing.
No, and that's amazing. It's just crazy how, I guess, maybe just the opportunity to try to make some money kind of led to this kind of feeling and obviously the business and kind of this euphoria as you described it. So I guess now kind of going to, like you said, Marshawn Lynch, he's using it. He wants a crazy amount of product and all this stuff. So At what point did like Michael, because from my understanding and doing preparation for this interview, Michael B. Jordan kind of reached out to you guys before Marshawn Lynch Super Bowl. So how are these people kind of noticing the training mass or getting wind of the training mass, I should say? Because again, Marshawn Lynch, that Super Bowl, that ordeal hadn't came out yet for it to kind of hit the main stage. So how are people kind of learning about the training mass up to
So
that point in time?
it's like Instagram, Facebook. Marshawn actually learned about it on Instagram, and he's like, like it was kind of like one of these things where him and his buddies were gonna try, and he's like, I'm not gonna try this, right? And his buddy actually ordered one, and he's, Marshawn, try this. You gotta try this. And he's like, okay, I'll try it, So this is on Sports Illustrated as well. You can look that up. But he tried it, and he's like, oh, whoa, this is a little bit different than what I thought it was gonna be. He's like, I'm getting hot, and I'm getting hot fast, and I'm getting warmed up way quicker. He said, so what he would do is he would walk around with a training mask on to warm
Before the
himself up.
game.
Yeah, before the game to warm himself up. He doesn't like to run before the game because he feels like he wears himself out, right? So what he wants to do is he wants to get his blood pumping, but he doesn't want to spend the amount of energy. So the energy expenditure is low compared to what the heart rate is. So we'll raise your heart rate, but the energy expenditure is low. So you don't have to go run on a, you don't, this is curtailed to everything. You don't have to go running with the training mask on to make it work. It's going to work. It's going to make you work, right? So it's, you're going to breathe in harder. You're going to deep breathe deeper. And you're going to get really good accessory diaphragmatic breathing muscles engaged, right? And that is it, like just getting all the blood pumping is the overall goal of this.
So you don't even necessarily, obviously the goal is, or I don't say the goal, but one of the uses is being able to work and wear while you're working out. But you're saying that, hey, you could just go for a walk around the corner or bike ride, whatever the case may be, by you having this training mask on, you're essentially, working, you're breathing.
Yes, yeah, and that's the thing. That's the misconception that I got to be a ripped athlete, or I got to be this great endurance athlete. You can be somebody that's sitting on the couch just breathing properly, right?
That's
Because the
crazy to
training
me.
mask, yeah. So the training mask is not going to let you breathe wrong. I'll be honest with you, it's not very forgiving. When you start breathing wrong, like you're going to start seeing the valves, like, and what's going to happen is it's going to make you take a deep breath, and it's going to. And you're gonna go, oh, and then because those valves are a resistance factor, right? So it's not gonna just let you breathe in. You're like, people have really bad breathing disposition, right? Basically, they only breathe, a lot of people only breathe with the top 17% of their lung capacity. Sitting is a silent smoke, right? And so what happens is like people only breathe a certain level down because it hurts to breathe deep. Like, if it hurts to breathe deep, you need to be deep. You need to be doing more of it.
Yeah,
You
for
need to be
sure.
doing more of it because there's going to become an issue down the line of you not breathing deep where it's going to create a health problem for you.
No, and I definitely agree with that. No, that's crazy. Like I said, I'm learning some new stuff here as well. So you're saying, so with Michael B. Jordan, what was his use for it? Because it seemed like with Marshawn Lynch, his was more so walking around to get kind of warmed up before the game. Obviously, we know. Michael B. Jordan, movie star, and kind of doing a lot of these, Apollo movies, these boxing movies, Rockies, things like that. So, what was his use of it?
So Michael B. Jordan called. We didn't know who he was, right? We don't have a clue who he is. And he said, "Hi, I'm Michael B. Jordan." And that my brother talked to him, and he said, "Okay." He said, "What can I do for you?" He goes, "Well, I need 30. I need 30 masks. Can you guys send me out 30 masks? We're looking at being in a major motion picture for for this movie, but I can't tell you what it is."
Oh, he's
And
not disclosing that information at the
no,
moment.
nah, he didn't. He wouldn't say anything, right? And this was 3 years. And I told Toby, like my little brother, I said, "Hey, listen, I said just send them out. If it works out to where we get on TV or we get some kind of spiff or some publicity, cool. If not, okay, it's just cost us 30 masks. It's not a big deal." And so we sent them out, and we didn't hear really anything, and we thought maybe there was a Michael Jordan play there, like maybe play on words or whatever it is. And then like all of a sudden they're like it started popping up like in our Google Alerts, like you got the Google Alerts turned on, like Michael B. Jordan wears a training mask. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. And it was like, oh yeah, we're in the, yeah, like this is big time. We're in a Rocky video. You know what I mean? Like, Who gets in a Rocky video? We didn't pay anything for that listing. You know, Michael B. Jordan got us in there because he called the office. We gave him the free product, you know? And I'm all about that. You know what I mean? If we can help somebody out, we can give somebody a free, you know, this or that. And we, you know, once in a while see a back scratch here and there.
Yeah.
And man, it just feels good, right?
I do these because, again, we're talking about Marshawn Lynch. We're talking about Michael B. Jordan. Again, from my understanding, LeBron James, Steph Curry has worn this mask. So when the teams reach out, I mean, I would imagine that is different when, I guess, a sports team, professional, whether it's football and basketball, reach out. This may be an understanding of kind of we're doing business. Maybe I'm wrong with that. But with these individual high-powered athletes, when they reach out, whether it's or entertainers, whether it's a Michael B. Jordan or a Marshawn Lynch, is the expectation always, hey, give me free product, or is it a negotiation? How does that work? Because it seems like at least with Marshawn Lynch and or like you're like, okay, just give it to him, and if it works out, it works out. But it seems like at least those two instances have worked out to the point where they were like, okay, Super Bowl and major motion picture. I guess, is that always the case where somebody wants free product, or you're saying, hey, if it's a kind of big name celebrity, just give it to him, or is it kind of a little bit more I said strategic than that?
You know, we give a lot of stuff away. We do a lot of kids camps for like Larry Fitzgerald and things like that, right? But like we primarily, like, if we can, you know, say, hey, listen, we'll do your product trade. You just post it on Instagram, right? Tag us in there, let us know, you know, whatever we can do to help out. And, you know, we help a lot of communities out. Like, you know, if we got a kids camp or whatever it is, we always kind of sponsor those events or with the athletes. But with those like product placements, it's not something like we go out and we're, you can't find those product placements. Like, yeah. So we were in the Steph Curry 3. Curry 3 is called Make That Old, right? We were on the Under Armour commercial with the Steph Curry 3 shoe. So, and we got that free, right? We got it free because Under Armour is like, okay, we're going to put Steph Curry in. They talked to Steph Curry and they said, hey, give us everything that you want in the video that you use while you're training. And he said, okay, I want a training mask. I want this. I want this. I want this. And one of them was the light sensors. Another one was training mask and a jump rope. And there was all kinds of different stuff, right? And at first, they didn't want to put us in because down the way, I think they may have been wanting to develop a training mask. But Steph Curry's like, they're like, well, what if we didn't use a training mask? And he said, well, what if we don't do the video? You know?
He was like that adamant about it. Like, no training mask, like, no video. That's legit.
Yeah. You called me in here. You told me that you would shoot the video with all my training products in here. And now we want to start eliminating ones. And so at the end of the day, like, they said, okay, we'll put it in there. But we're going to have to turn the sleeve inside out because we don't want to show the logo. Because it's not branded anything Under Armour. We were the first product ever sold by Under Armour on their website that was unbranded as training mask, not Under Armour. First product, the only product.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is
pretty wild.
Wow.
It's been a wild ride, man. It's been a great, you know, like, training mask as a brand, it's been fun. It's a lot of fun, right? We've had a lot of fun. You know, we've done a lot for our community locally. We've done a lot for our employees. You know, it's just one of those things where, and we still continue to, and it's been, you know, it's been a fun ride. It's been, you know, like, every day you come to work, you don't want to hate work, right?
Yeah.
Every day you come to work, you have a good set of staff. You have fun people to be around. You know, and it's fun. It's fun to work here. It's fun to be here.
Well, so and I guess this is maybe obviously my background with the IP and specifically patents and things like that, trademarks. So, I mean, obviously with over 100 patents, almost 400 trademarks, you know some things about, or you've been through that process, I would imagine, not only here in the U.S., but abroad. So can you talk a little bit about, I guess, the importance of maybe just the IP to your business? Because, again, I know as an intellectual property attorney how important this stuff is when you're trying to build a business that allows you to keep other people from, you know, copying your product, even though that's going to happen, especially when you're successful.
Yeah.
You just have to deal with it. But, again, I know we were talking offline about, like, raids in China just with copy and, like, some crazy stories here. So Can you kind of explain a little bit about, I guess, the importance of IP with regard to, like, the business and being able to grow and kind of develop new product lines and, you know, get copycats or infringers taken down or dealt with appropriately?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that, you know, like I tell the entrepreneurs is get it down on paper, right? Get it down on paper, write it down. Make, if you have a 3D printer, print it off, make a mini model of it. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take a photocopy of what you've drawn up or what you put in, put it in the mail, certified letter, send it back to yourself. So then if you ever get contested or a patent gets contested that you have, you were first to market with that patent or that idea, right? Now that piece of paper doesn't always say, hey, listen, you have a patent on there or whatever. But that piece of paper says the idea was mine and it was initially originated by myself. And if you have to go to court, what you want to find is that you were the originator. And when you open that envelope, that certified mail, and it does show what you patented, the patent that somebody's contesting that is yours, you can say, here's the idea that I initially did. It's certified. It's not been opened once. Here's the initial idea. So that was one of the things that I did. I didn't have to use it, obviously, but it was just one of those things that I felt was a safety net for myself, right?
Well, I guess I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm not sure if it's a little bit of lag there. Well, yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a little bit of lag, but I guess I will say something to that point. The U.S., at least specifically with regard to the U.S. patent law system, we were at one point a first to invent system, which pretty much means that, okay, if you had two people who had invented the same thing, it was up to those individuals, or let's say those two people who were, I guess, arguing or fighting about, they would have to provide documentation or evidence as far as who invented their invention, who invented it first. And having, like right. You said, that certified statement and things like that was helpful in terms of helping the courts make that determination of who invented it first. I guess I think it was like 2012 where we became a first to file system, where now you have to file the application. So in other words, if you filed an application if we both had an invention, Casey had mm-hmm. an invention, I had an invention, you filed it January 1st of 2024, yeah. But I invented it January 1st of 2023, but I never filed it. At this point in time, you're going to get credit for it because you filed it, even though I invented it first, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Because first to file system. So they want to know now to the extent that, and to be honest with you, it can almost, I don't want to say hurt you, but if you showed that, okay, you mailed it to yourself, it would almost help me because it's not a public disclosure, because in the U.S., I'm pretty sure, as you're aware, when you public disclose it, you have a year to file or else you're barred. I know in other countries such as China, if you disclose it, then you can no longer file. It's an absolute bar to filing an application. Whereas, like I said, the U.S., they give you a year grace period. But if you send something to yourself and, like you said, certified mail, and it's never open, that, at least to me, that wouldn't even appear to be a public disclosure to the point where that will bar me from still being able to file it because it was, I guess, out in the public domain, if that makes sense. So, I just wanted to point that
some
out.
Some of the issue becomes is who's lying, right?
that's why the U.S. kind of went to this first to file system, because I think they're getting tired of, okay, now we have to listen through all this tons of evidence and all this paperwork to say for these two people trying to prove that they filed that. I mean, they invented the invention first. So now it's like, okay, we don't care about who invented it first, who filed it first. And whoever filed it first is going to get essentially rights to it. That's why it's like, okay, even if it's a provisional application that's not really flushed out, it's like, okay, let's at least file the provisional application. And that if nothing else, is going to get your place in line. So if somebody tried to file it afterwards, then you filed it first. You filed it first, even if somebody tried. So if you invented something and somebody come file it afterwards, you can't these days go to the court and say, well, I invented it
first. So now it's filed first versus got you. Yeah. So over time, obviously. Yeah, things change so much over time, you know what I mean? Yeah,
sure.
And like it flip-flops, and then you hear of a law coming into play and it never gets pushed, or, you know, something happens. You think, like, you read up to a certain point and then you stop reading because you think, well, this is probably going to go through, and you believe it may, right?
Well, yeah,
it's like
sure.
You don't follow it up.
Yep, exactly.
So, and bad lawyers like you are like save our rears.
and you were at an interesting time, especially if you founded the company in 2010, because it was at that point in time
exactly.
And it was the first to invent system. But as the years progressed, it became the first to file system to the point where it's like, okay, whoever files this thing first get rights to it, regardless of who invented it first. So it kind of crossed over at some point, like I said, that 2012, 2013 yeah. timeline. So I guess I just maybe wanted to kind of say that so that kind of people understand, hey, if you have something, yeah. if you have an invention, even if it's not flushed out, I guess you can try to flush it out. And I mean, I understand that part of it as well, but yeah. at the very least, I guess I always kind of recommend at least file a provisional application. It's going to be a couple $100s. It's not that expensive. Yeah. And at least that gets you.
Yeah, you got to get something on record, right? And
yeah,
that
exactly.
was kind of like my first record. Yeah. That was like, yeah. for me, that was my first record, right? Because I came before these times, right? And so, and now I've filed patents along the way, but I don't have, I'm not as involved as I was when the first one. Once you yeah. file one, you kind of like, this lawyer, you just hand it to the lawyers, like, get it done, right?
No, for and, sure. And, yeah, especially if you have engineers at that point, like,
right.
man, as an attorney, I'm more so working with the legal department of companies. I'm working with the engineers of companies. I rarely would kind of work, unless it's like a smaller company, I will, like a startup company, because I have a lot of startup clients. I'll work yeah. with obviously that CEO or founder of the startup. But if a company is a little further along, I'm typically working with the in-house counsel or the engineers, as opposed to kind of dealing with the CEO of a more established company. So they're a lot of times are a little bit outside the loop. I guess I thought that was worth maybe saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's a time sector of, of a change, right?
Yeah,
that
for sure.
some people may have experienced and some people haven't, right? Because we're in our early 40s and we've experienced this, and then the new guys won't experience it. But one of the things, like, like I always said, it was like of that record, like or you may want to just keep it and see how far you can. You know, it's just something that you can retain,
sure.
right?
For sure. No, absolutely.
And getting going on certain things, a lot of people, like, I would say, like, refrain from taking out debt. There's so many people that are coming in where they go, oh, I got to go borrow money. How about we try to do as much stuff as we can and do it for free until we have to, like, take money out of our pocket? Like, see, you can make stuff with your hands for cheap, right? And if you can get it to work, you can get it, then, like, show somebody or show an engineer. There's all kinds of, like, one of the things, like, one of the times that I was actually doing a motivational speak at Ferris, and I'm like, how many of you guys here have LinkedIn? Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, how many of you guys know about Upwork? Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, guys, we got to get our shit together. Yeah. Like, you are graduating college this year and you don't know any of this stuff. Like, LinkedIn, get on there, start networking. Your next boss could be there, right? Upwork, if you need to hire somebody, Upwork's a great place. There's all kinds of marketplaces where you can find engineers that are doing $15, $20 worth of work. They're not going to steal your idea. All they want is the $15, $20, right?
Right, for sure.
There's a lot of people out there with great talent who are affordable.
Yep. No, and I'll even, just to add to that, if you are, I guess, for whatever reason, worried about somebody stealing your idea, I always, as an attorney, kind of preface with by saying, hey, make sure if you're disclosing it to anybody, just do it under an NDA or a confidentiality agreement, just to make sure that they're not, going to take it and kind of run off with it. But man, yeah, absolutely. Just social media in general, it seems like with the Super Bowl and these different opportunities that kind of push Training Mask out there came from Instagrams and just social media platforms. So not only can social media be used to kind of find talent, but it also can be used to, and a lot oftentimes it is used to actually get the product out there to the masses. I can't tell you how many times people on TikTok, even though I'm not on TikTok, say, hey, man, my stuff went viral on TikTok, 15, 20 million views. The next thing you know, I was on Kickstarter, just trying to, kind of get the ball rolling, because just based on the comments and the feedback on TikTok or one of these social media platforms, they're saying, hey, man, you need to kind of protect this and actually come out with this this product that you kind of showed at the early stages on TikTok. This is something that you should probably pursue further. So, yeah, social media can be a big platform, or just something big for you to kind of
It's massive. And drive it to a funnel, I say. Like, push it to somewhere. Like, don't just go out and spend money to get, like, the likes, because those likes aren't making any money. Collect the email addresses, collect the SMS numbers, get those people engaging, right? A lot of people are going, oh, they, like, 400 people like my stuff. That's great. How many of the 400 people will you be able to sell one product to? Nope, yep. None, because you don't have their email address and you don't have their contact information.
Right.
That's like driving to a funnel, basically hit it to a landing page, you know, Wix, Shopify, those type of landing page. Shopify is a store, but Shopify makes it, Shopify has Shopify pages, where you can build out a beautiful page that can drive to a funnel where you can acquire all their, you know, all their information, whether it's email address, SMS messaging, or get them into a giveaway, right? Like give away something that's $99 or something like that, and say, hey, listen, give us your email address and SMS, and we'll put you in our list, and we'll notify you through SMS or email if you have one.
For sure. Yep. Absolutely. No, definitely.
That's how you acquire customers, because it's people coming into your funnel that enjoy your content that it is.
Yep.
And but they want the item that you're giving away for free, but they're willing to give up something to get that for free. Mm-hmm. And if it just so happens that you send them an email, you know, and they happen to buy, then you create a customer.
Right. I mean, that's why you're the man. That's why you've had grown training mask. So I wanted to ask you about this, because, and I'm not sure if we talked about this with the arrows, it seemed like the air trainer, that one's pretty interesting, because it seemed like they had adjustable flow resistance. When, at what point did that product come out?
We just came out with that. That was 3 months ago. We just came out with that product.
Oh, really?
What we noticed is, like, and that product's been in development for about 6 months prior to that, because, like, you got to understand, like, not you, but like the audience has to understand, like, when you come out with a product, it's not always perfect, right? It might not fit in the mouth right. It might basically, there might be edges that are too sharp, right? The mold's not closing right. We got a deformation here or there. We just got to iron out all those things. Yeah. One of our problems was the durometer. When you would breathe in, the pipe on it wanted to close. So it's just like it, you try to close, it stick close, right? So we had to increase, like, a durometer is like the hardness of the hardness of the actual rubber, right? Yeah. And it's actually a silicone product, but it's the hardness of it. And so we bumped our durometer up, and the second time we shot through that mold, it was like the drama was perfect. I'm like, we nailed it. Like, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, this, there's no question in my mind that this is the product that's coming to market. And when you get that feeling, like, when you, like, you get into a stage of paralysis by analysis. When you first get excited about the product, when you go, okay, this would be great if we did this. And once you make that little change, you go, this is it.
Yep.
Stick with that. And stop. Like, just go. You're ready for market. When you're excited about it, go to market with it, right? Because at the end of the day, so many people get caught up in, like, oh, it doesn't have this. Oh, it doesn't have that. And they never get the product to market because it's paralysis by analysis. We're overanalyzing the product so much. It's taking so much time. Somebody's either going to beat you to market, or what's going to happen is this is going to go to the wayside, and maybe your grandkids will find it one day. Right. And so you don't want that. Get to the market and get to the market fast.
No, I love that. I love that piece of advice. Get to the market fast. And then you started to kind of do something different. And I wanted to see it. Was this intentional or just kind of by happenstance, where now you started to come out with some stuff that necessarily wasn't geared toward, it was still in a performance space, but it wasn't necessarily geared towards a kind of, you know, respiratory kind of performance as far as the launch release belt. And like the vest or whatnot. So what kind of brought about, I guess, those launches or those products?
Those are those launch release belts and things like that. Those, Saquon Barkley requested we make those, right?
Really?
And Saquon is really good friends with Tom Shaw, and we're really good friends with Tom Shaw. Tom Shaw is actually coming up May 4th to do a speaking event at Cadillac for the football team. So he's going to be a motivational speaker. He's coming up from Florida. He's 25% of the NFL's quarterbacks who won Super Bowls have worked with Tom Shaw. Nice. So Tom Shaw's out of Orlando. He was with ESPN Worldwide Sports, and then he was the Raiders. In 2008, he was the Raiders' speed and performance coach. And then Gruden was on his way out, and Tom kind of got out. Tom went out with Gruden, right behind Gruden. It wasn't really like something that there was anything wrong. It was just that they had a losing season and somebody had to be the fall guy, right? You know how it goes, man. So it was what it was. But going back to, like, the Aeros being a different product and something that's new and innovative, what we noticed is, like, when we came out with like the mask, after 2020, everybody, they seem to get mask fatigue. We call it mask fatigue. it was like people were pissed about masks. People weren't happy that they had to wear a mask. They weren't happy that they felt deceived, right? And it was like, okay, we're taking a big downturn here, and we got to figure out how to get out from underneath it. And one of the products is Eros. And the Eros is one of these products that, like, you can hook it to it. It actually has an adapter for football helmets, right? So backward seats, and it hooks onto the front mouthpiece of it, goes in your mouth, right? And then it hooks onto, like, a holder that backwards adapts just like a mouth guard. So
I was going to say, it seemed like you put it in your mouth just like a mouth guard from what I was seeing.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And it's actually made for football training as well. Like, so you can have it underneath your helmet, and you're not going to hurt your teeth. Like some people, you know, sometimes you get those mouth guards that are really hard. They got rigid in them. Not ours. It's not something like, you don't want to, this is not a mouth guard. Don't get me wrong here. This is not something to be used as a mouth guard,
but if you bite
on it hard, you're not breaking your teeth. And it's not going to hurt you. Right.
Right.
So, but Eros was invented because of the mask fatigue, and we put a multi-resistance factor on it, and it was just like a turn flow valve that we inserted in there. And with the turn flow that we have 2.0 turn flow, we took one of the valves and reseated it in there, and I was just testing with it. I'm like, damn, this thing's so good, like I don't know if I'd change this, but over time, like, I'm going to innovate on that as well. Yeah. So we are actually going to change not the Aero system, but we're going to actually have a different system coming out that is going to be pretty wild. I can show you one of the things that we've been working on here.
It doesn't actually have
the front cap on it, but if you watch this, this is a training device, and this is, if you touch the button, watch the middle center. So as it goes, and then if you want to open it completely up, you just hold it down. That's the resistance breathing device that we've developed here. So we're working on innovation here, right? And it's going to be pretty wild what we're coming out with.
Hey, did you, like, when you started this, and I would imagine that the answer maybe is no, but maybe I'm wrong here, that, like, over the next 10, almost 15 years, that you will be where you are now with so many products and innovation being the key of the company just seeing an opportunity to make some money with Sean kind of back, 2010, 2011, did you kind of envision what has come to be at this point in time?
You know,
just hearing the story is like, man, this is incredible. This was it about, this what it is about as far as kind of the American dream and building a business, and innovation and IP and patents and all that stuff. It's like, man, this is like a living, breathing, like resort of everything.
You know, they say, you know, it's one of these things where, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, to go together.
Yep.
What happens is when you're young and you're an entrepreneur, all you want to do is speed to market. It's so fast. You don't want to run with anybody. You're the top dog. You're the dog. But really what happens down the line, when you start getting to the point where, you have so many sales, you have so much stuff coming at you. You got, legal, you got taxes, you got different things that are getting thrown at you. You can't do it all, right? You have to start building the structure underneath you. You can run good a year and a half or 2 years, until like you start swimming upstream, right? The minute you start feeling resistance of like, man, I'm not getting enough done during the day. I can't get to all of that. I don't know what to do. That's when you go, I need to make my first hire. And then get the right people in the right place. Don't just hire your mom or somebody because you just need a person to do it, right? Make sure they have a skill set that can optimize you as the entrepreneur. And make sure, like, you don't always want somebody that is on your team. You want somebody that is on your team, but will also keep you in line, right? You gotta have checks and balances within, your system. Like, if you don't, like, what happens is things get out of line, because if everybody's always telling you everything that you want to hear and what you should hear, it tends to be a problem, because like you start, like, you get this I guess what you consider as a persona of, I can do no wrong and my team loves me, and that your team will only love you as you're paying their bills, right? And the minute you start to fail and you're failing them, you're failing yourself, there's not going to be any money left for you to support anybody but yourself. So you're going to be back, going back 3 years to swim upstream 2 years. You're on a 5-year reset, right? And so don't do that to yourself. Build the team underneath you, build the people you need, and that hold their value within your company.
I like that. I like that. And then I guess the last thing that I'll maybe kind of guess get you off on is you have, and you talked about it, and I think in another interview where you guys are developing this app that kind of helps you like with breathing from an efficiency standpoint, just kind of make sure regardless of what activity you're performing or sports you're performing, whatever the case may be, you're trying to make sure you're breathing properly, which obviously helps out in the long run. So can you talk about that a little bit? I'm not sure.
Yeah. So one of the things is, you know, like we want to be like in the biometric space, right? We want to be able to measure what we're actually doing. Cause a lot of people don't know how to quantify anything unless it has a direct screen in their face or I got to see this on paper. Like, you know, one of the things I would say is like, if I could show you this on like on your biometrics, on your app, and I can get you breathing deeper, I can get you breathing stronger, will you feel as good if I just told you you would? The answer is no, because you got to see it. You got to see it from a computer screen. We're in this age of like, we got to see everything analyzed for us to actually believe that you're doing it, right?
If I
bring you the analytics along with you feeling better, I get I get two sides of the coin here. I can give you the analytics. I can give you the ability to feel better, and we both win, right? And that's one of the apps that we're developing. You know, like whether you're doing yoga or whether we're doing, you know, we're running outside, running in the treadmill. We want to be able to, you know, inspiratory, expiratory, lung volume thresholds. We want to be able to measure those and capture those. You know, one of the things that we want to really do is understand how to breathe, right? Are we in through the nose and out through the resistance, or in through the resistance and out through the nose? So like a lot of people are like, oh, just breathe, you know, normally I'll breathe through a straw. I'll do the same thing. It won't do the same thing. Like I promise you, you can breathe through a straw all day long. There is no straight resistance pipe on that. It has to have a function of giving, right? The material has to flex, and it has to be under a certain resistance load. Right. And we
not only makes sense, it seems like, as you're thinking about it.
Yeah. Cause like a lot of people are like, oh, I just would do it with a plastic straw. It's like, if I hear this one more time, I swear to God. But it's not the same, because like there's no resistance. It's like a buoyancy factor, right? Like you take a flat basketball, you throw it underwater, it sinks, right? You take a basketball with air in it, it blows up, right? It's like one of these things where you're like, okay, I'm going to fill my lungs full of air and oxygen, right? I'm going to stretch them out. I'm going to give the diaphragm the ability to strengthen up by using a resistance breathing device. And then I'm going to exhale. But like, it's the functions that all get better, right? And that's what a lot of people don't understand. If I'm working on this, we're going to get better. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. And you may be a little sore tomorrow, but you know what? Keep working at it. Keep doing it consistently. And it pays dividends. It will pay the dividends to continue to work on it, right? I'll tell you this. When you put on a training mask or you use one of our products, you immediately know you're under a resistance load. Yeah. I'll tell you that it's biofeedback immediately, right? And what I say is like, you know, breathe with the diaphragmatic breathing muscles. Don't breathe with the side stitches, and everything will work out and be okay, right? But we have a manual that teaches everything. We also have manuals on trainingmask.com that teaches you how to breathe, inspiratory, expiratory, lung volume threshold, tours. Basically, things that are like, okay, we're going to shallow breathe, then we're going to deep breathe. Shallow breathe, deep breathe. So there's just cadences that can optimize how you're breathing and where you will function better than if you would if you didn't use a training mask or a resistance breathing product, right? Like, you're not going to... Dr. Gary Brackett talks about this. In the presence of oxygen, there is no disease, right? So if we can increase your oxygen efficiency within the bloodstream, which we do by bringing up the VO2 max, this can help with everything, you know, blood pH, a lot of different things happen physiologically, right? There's just so much benefit to actually resistance breathing that people don't know. It's almost like unlocking the mecca of you know, of yoga or Zen. It's kind of like you get into a zone where you feel and function better.
No, it, for sure. And I think this seems like this is something, okay, obviously if you're an athlete or you're training for something, man, that's a given. But it seems like just for the everyday person, they can benefit from, like I said earlier, just kind of awareness to walking around, just kind of teaching themselves how to breathe or make sure they're breathing properly. Because I would imagine most Americans or just most people in general are not breathing properly, like you said, taking those deep breaths. So it
That's
seems
a
like this.
misconception that we do have, is you don't need to be an athlete to use this. We have people with COPD, asthmatics, that use our mask. We're actually under a clinical study right now with with one of our products, helping dysphagia. And dysphagia is weakening of the throat to where they can't swallow. So they have to like swallow bananas, they have to swallow like certain mashed potatoes. And like what happens is, and this happens with Parkinson's patients and Alzheimer's patients, right? Dysphagia is the ability, they start losing the cognitive ability to swallow foods. So they do give them like potatoes and bananas to strengthen those back up. But if you now, what we're finding is that if we use a resistance breathing device using it, because it's like these muscles are getting stronger. Right. And that's what's happening with this phase. I think this is phase two that we're in now. And it's actually happening in Israel. So we're finding that the dysphagia is, I would say, going away. I would say we're strengthening the muscles to outrun the inability of function.
Nice, nice, nice. Man, I know we talked about a lot, and I, like I said, I want to be respectful of y'all time. I know we're over an hour. I try to like to keep them to an hour, but I guess I'll get you out on, I guess, with this question. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs? Because it seems like, man, just kind of talking to you, you know your product like the back of your hand. You, I mean, again, I've learned so much. I know the audience have learned so much, just kind of about just breathing and the training mask and the benefits and kind of talking about that story. And it seems like it almost can be overwhelming, I would imagine, to say, oh man, I have to get to that point of the business, to the point where I know all this stuff. So I guess what advice for an aspiring entrepreneur as they're trying to go through the journey and make the decision whether they are going to go through this entrepreneurial journey, what advice would you give to somebody like that?
One of the things I always say is patience and persistence, right? A thing I seen in a magazine one time, it says a drop of water will cut through a stone over time, right? And so what happens is like if you're patient and you're persistent, you will be pers you'll persevere all no matter what you do, right? Because people either number one get sick of hearing from you, get sick of seeing you, and you will get what you want with patience and
I like
persistence.
that.
It's
I like that.
100% true. It works for me. And another thing is like as an entrepreneur, one of the things I want people to focus in on is win one time a day, right? Win one time a day. That being said, like what do you win at? Like you can win at, let's say, making your bed. If you're a kid, you're making your bed, win one time a day. You could do something nice for somebody. You know, that's a win for the day. And what, you know, like as you go on in life, if you can win one time a day, winning one time a day equals 365 wins in 1 year, right? And if you look at you stack those wins up, you had a winning year, right? And so what you want to do is to stack those wins and accommodate those wins. And a win is just anything that makes you feel better about where you're going or what you've been doing, right? Whether it's like, hey, like I did this for somebody, or I took care of this for somebody, you know. But one thing I will say is givers have to set limits because takers never do. So if you're a giver, you need to make sure that checks and balances are in
You
place.
right, man. You ain't lying with that one. Aren't lying with that one.
My man.
Man, you aren't lying with that one. No, so that's man, that's some great info. I guess if people wanted to follow you, it seems like, or even purchase a training mask. I know you have the website, I think it was
You can follow me.
trainingmask.com.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram.com, Casey, Casey, Danford, Danford. In Training Mask, trainingmask.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We have all pretty much just at slash Training Mask. You'll find us there.
Wow, nice, nice, nice. Well, definitely, audience, go follow him. As you can see from just this interview, they're coming up with some amazing products, and also kind of some stepping out of, outside of the training mass per se a little bit with the vest and the last release belt thing, Saquon Barkley on that one. Hopefully you enjoyed this. And until next time, audience, take care.